I've got an itch I can't scratch. I'm missing a piece that completes a whole part of me. An open wound scar to see. Everybody come here, gather round. Welcome to the freak show, the best in town. What the hell's wrong with me? I don't get along with anybody, honestly. I've been living in my own head, constantly thoughts jumbled round. Think I need a new lobotomy. Wait, all these thoughts are too negative. I don't wanna get lost in the sedative. Gotta show them what I got, I'm competitive. You know I'm about to go off, I won't let them win. I'll take a stab, I wanna chase a bag. I wanna weigh, I can change all the things I lack. I gotta face the facts, I got a taste in that. Got me obsessed with the rest, I got an itch to scratch.
Ooh. And we're back with another episode of Real Fans Football Talk. What is good, boys? What is good?
What's going on?
Not much.
Not much. Okay. Well, hey, Justin, welcome to the show, my friend.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute, man. Hey, we've been waiting for your debut this season, and happy as hell to have you. Been a while, buddy.
Ready to roll. Let's get it.
Hell yeah. All right. Everybody, welcome Justin to the debut of the season. He is here. All right. We have quite a bit of things we're going to talk about, more than I thought we were going to. So we're going to jump right into it. First thing we're talking about, as we're going to jump into some college, and we're going to do talk about a little bit of Utah, Oregon State. Well, Oregon State at Utah, I should say. So that game is pretty interesting. Both teams 3-1, conference game, Pac-12, and
Pac-12.
Yeah, 12, man. So the matchup predictor on ESPN, according to their Football Power Index, they got Utah winning this game, 82% chance of winning this game. So pretty high percentage. They definitely get Utah winning this one. As far as stats goes, I mean, they're fairly even. Utah's got a bit better of a running game. Passing yards per game, they're pretty close. Defensively, Utah is better. Overall, yards allowed. I mean, you know, Oregon State allowing 206 versus Utah's defense, which is 132. So there's quite a bit of difference there. And then rushing yards, same thing, you know, 150 from Oregon State allowed and 111 by Utah's defense. So with all that said, let's start with Justin here, let him get his debut done and over with here. What do you think is going to happen in this game, Justin?
I think it'll be a good game. Like you said, Utah does have, you know, statistically wise, the better defense, but I could see, in being that it's in Utah, Utah fans can get pretty rowdy. I could see this in kind of a blowout like Utah's, you know, previous four games, and just really have their way with Oregon State. I mean, you're going to have to, right? Because they, you know, you're fighting to get to the playoffs. You already have the one loss to Florida. At this point, the rest of the season, you got to come out and prove that, you know, you're a legitimate team to make it to the playoffs. The style points. Because, I mean, besides, I guess Washington, UCLA, they're a couple undefeated teams too, with USC. But so, I mean, they got a pretty decent schedule, but compared to some other teams, that, I mean, they really got to come out and actually their foot on Oregon State's throat and throttle them early, I think. I don't think you want Oregon State hanging around.
Right.
You want to shut it down pretty quick, for sure. I mean, since Utah's loss to Florida, which we've said a couple times this season, Utah should have won that game. There's no reason why they lost that game except for bad execution at the goal line, really. They had that game won. They should be 4-0. But since that loss, Utah's been blowing everybody out. You got a 73-7 win. That's crazy. 35-7 and 34-13 the last three games. I mean, they're blowing everybody out. So
I will say, though, I mean, they got to come out and they got to start quick, though. Last few games, I mean, Arizona State, they came out and they put 14 points up in the first quarter. You know, a much better start. We'll take out that game. I think it was Idaho State, 73-7?
I think so.
Yeah.
We'll scrub that game. I mean, consistently, they start slow. They got to come out and really fire off the ball, and everything's got to be clicking. I mean, I don't think Oregon State's slouch.
No, it's not going to be just a walk in the park. I mean, the 73-7 game, that was actually against Southern Utah. So, I mean, the easy opponent. I mean, but still, to put up 73 is pretty impressive regardless.
Well, one of the things I was concerned, you know, going back to the Utah-Florida game, and it sounds like with the stats you're reading, they cleaned it up, was that Utah was struggling with tackling. They just couldn't do open field tackles. But it seems like they actually worked on that and cleaned it up with what you were reading. So that's actually really good, because that was a huge concern of mine, seeing how they played defense against Florida.
Well, I mean, you got to take into consideration the opponents they've been playing. I mean, it's not been not exactly a strong schedule. Florida so far has been the toughest team on that schedule thus far, and they struggled against them defensively to put a stop to that offense, especially with the tackling. I mean, we discussed that already. I mean, all those ankle tackles they were going for were ridiculous. Bro,
pathetic.
Yeah. So this game should be a challenge for them. I have Utah winning this game convincingly, especially at home. Like Justin said, you know, Utah fans, they get loud, they get rowdy, they love their Utes. So
there's no pro team. That's it. The Utes, BYU, Utah State, the Jazz, that's it.
Yeah.
I guess you got the soccer team, but
Real Salt Lake, Yep. But I mean, so they love their Utes, and I honestly, dude, I don't want to say that it's going to be a slaughter. Like, Utah always seems to struggle in these more important games. They, you know, it's a opponent that's more equal to them, and they seem to always, like Justin said, they start slow. I mean, against Oregon, they last year, with the exception of last year, I should say, usually against like teams like Oregon, they usually a nail biter, you know, and a lot of times they lose those close games. So this one will be interesting, but I think with them specifically, because Utah's at home, I have them winning this game just because of that. I don't trust Utah in these close games, though, and I don't think it's going to be a slaughter. I think it's going to be a close game. So I think offensively, I think it's going to be more, I mean, defensively, Utah's okay, but both teams are kind of allowing a lot of yards regardless, so per game. So I think it's going to be a high scoring, high offensive game, and I think it's going to be probably close to something like 35-28 final score, somewhere in there. Utah.
Respect.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's that. So I'm going to move on with that, and we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is going ham this year.
Yeah, he's killing it, bro. he is killing it. We always talked about, like, once he gets to being an excellent passer, he's going to be hard to beat. He's going to be nearly the perfect quarterback. But, I mean, he's been throwing bombs, man.
Yeah, he's like you said, you know, to touch on what you said, we've always said that if Lamar Jackson starts stepping up his game and becomes a better passer versus just a runner, and he elevates his game to being able to do both, he's going to be terrifying. And he's kind of done that this year. I mean, just quick stats, 749 yards on the season. He's got 10 touchdowns to only two interceptions with a QBR of 118.99. I mean, there was a time
when, that money.
Yeah, dude, because he's on a contract season. Or, yeah. You know, and there was a time when Lamar would have these numbers about mid-season. He'd have a ton of rushing yards. But those numbers I just read off, those are just his passing numbers. He's still getting it done on the ground. He's, yeah. I mean, against the Patriots, he rushed for 107 yards. Against the Dolphins, 119. And he didn't run much against the Jets, but he still had 17 yards rushing. But in the first two games, Patriots-Dolphins games, he has a rushing touchdown in each of those games too. So he's still being Lamar Jackson with his feet, but now he's also getting it done with his arms. His arm, I should say. He's not throwing with both arms.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Kind of terrifying right now. So that's something we're gonna talk about something like this later on in the season, but I kinda wanted to bring it up a little early. It is still a little early, but is Lamar Jackson MVP. Gonna be the MVP? I mean,
well, I will say that he's on track. Who's making more of an impact right now as a QB? I mean,
well, they might as well call it the quarterback, the most valuable quarterback, because let's be honest, it's 99.9% of the time it goes to the QB.
Right.
But as a player who's making more of an impact for his team, I don't think anybody. Maybe Jalen Hurts, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But right now, I can't think of another quarterback that's doing more for their team than him.
I mean,
and like you said,
I have to agree.
Scary. He's scary right now. Imagine if he had some legitimate weapons around him.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of got rid of the one deep threat he did have, which was Marquise Brown, who they traded to the Cardinals. I mean,
but Bateman's kind of taking that role as well, though. You know, he can take top off of defenses. But
he did
as far as receivers go.
Bateman kind of exposed Xavier Howard in that game for the first half. So you're not wrong.
Yeah.
So, but continue on your point. Sorry.
Oh yeah, no. I was just saying that. You know, as far as weapons, as far as receiving, you know, he only really has Bateman and Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's be honest. I mean, Andrews is his number one go-to guy. It's been that way for the last few years now. But the fact that he's starting to develop as a passer and he's starting to spread the ball around to not just Andrews, but he's getting it to his receivers as well, it just shows that how much he's grown as a passer in this league. I mean, I heard the other day, and I don't know if that stat still stands, but when I want to say this was last week, I heard he was number one against the blitz. And we all know how he was against the blitz last year against the Dolphins. He got his ass whooped against the Dolphins.
Shut his ass down.
Yeah. And so a lot of other teams kind of started blitzing him a lot, and he struggled against that. This year, he's number one. Well, again, don't know if he is now, but he was, as of last week, number one against the blitz. So that means he's improved his game. He saw a weakness in his game, and he said, hell no. And he went and worked on it, and he improved. I mean, and that's all you want out of your quarterback, your franchise QB, is to see improvement. And that's all he's done since he's come to this league. I usually don't praise Lamar. Like the year he won the MVP, I didn't think he was deserving of it. I just didn't. Was he really great? Yes, but he was a run first quarterback, and you know, if his first read wasn't there, he'd bail. I just didn't think he was deserving of that first MVP. This right. year, without a doubt, thus far, I think he's a top runner. I don't think anybody's playing at a better level than him at quarterback right now. I don't think there's a single quarterback in this league playing better than him.
Very good argument.
Yeah. So that dude's balling out. So listeners, viewers, go ahead, Cade.
I was going to say a little bit, you know, he said that he used to rely on Andrews a lot, but he is like a safety blanket to him. But it's good having that because, I mean, look at Mahomes and Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safety blanket for him. If he needs like a third, if it's like third and four, third and short, and he needs that first down, you better believe he's going to be looking for Kelsey.
Well, but so I was going to end this, but then I just realized I want to put something in perspective just to show everyone his growth. So in 2018, when he came to the league, he started 16 games. Passing yards, he only threw for 1201 his rookie year. Now, the 2019, I think that's the year he won the MVP, if I'm not mistaken. He did throw for 3,127, and he did have a 36-6 TD ratio. Like, that's pretty good. So he did well. He did have a really good season that year, but there was quarterbacks that had better season than him. But I guess because he did so much with his legs on top of that, I guess maybe. But I still didn't think he was the MVP personally. But what I'm getting at is that his completion percentage has done nothing but get better as he's went on. So, you know, you go to from 2021, he threw for 2,282 yards, an average of 7.5 yards per game. This year already, so he was at 2,800 roughly last year. This year already, he's already at 749. We're barely entering week four. Like, he's going to crush that number. His percentage has dropped a smidge from last year. He was at 64% completion. This year, he's at 63. But, I mean, he's not getting sacked nearly as much. He's just playing way better than he has in previous years. It's crazy to see it, just the growth that he's made, and it's kind of scary to see a quarterback who can run like he can, who's now a viable quarterback, a thrower of the ball. It's actually really damn scary to think about that we're getting those kind of players in the league. Crazy.
Oh yeah.
So, but anyway, y'all, listeners, viewers, let us know what you guys think about this, because I know there's a lot of haters out there on Lamar, and I know there's a lot of lovers. So, you know, this could be an interesting topic to talk about on the Facebook page. But numbers don't lie, and his performances the last 3 weeks have been crazy. So, y'all, let us know what you think. So, we're going to move on from that one. And this one I'm really interested to talk about, and I'm going to let Justin open this one up, but we're going to talk about the Eagles, the 3-0 Eagles, bro.
Boy, does Philly got a football team.
Yeah, who saw that coming? Like, we knew they were going to be good, but they look really damn good. Well, I predicted them to be pretty damn good. They upgraded their defense. They upgraded it's been their
let down so many times that I believe it when I see it.
Well, you're seeing something. What are you seeing right now? What do you think?
I don't want to be too much of a homer, but
I mean, you're kind of wearing a Donovan McNabb jersey and an Eagles hat.
Go back.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a homer, but just saying.
I honestly think that this team has an eerily, is that right?
Eerily. We're from Utah, bro. That's how we say things.
To the Super Bowl team.
Yeah. Defensively, they're dominant.
Their defense I feel like is a little bit better this time around.
Mm.
It was on that Super Bowl team. Weapons, I think, are better, younger, faster.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jalen Hurts, man. Who seen that coming?
Nobody saw that coming, bro. Not a soul saw Jalen Hurts coming out.
The last couple weeks, he's been dotting the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's really stepped up, man.
Scary how much he stepped up. Like,
that's the thing too, with how many weapons they have on offense. I mean, you can't cover everybody, and you know, if you got your receivers covered, leave Hurts open to run down the field, pick up critical first downs.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely not the threat that Lamar Jackson is with his feet, but he's still a threat nonetheless. And what's crazy to me is how much he's developed as a passer too. He's not the biggest guy, you know. He is a mobile quarterback, but he's kind of going off this year. I mean, I'm trying to find, what's the word? I mean, if we're talking MVPs, he's right there in the conversation with Lamar Jackson right now, the kind of season he's putting together. But he's kind of scary. I mean, the threat of, I mean, because he throws a great deep ball. That's one of his best throws, to be honest. Throws a really good deep ball, and he has A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith is, he's throwing it up to Devontae Smith. Or not Devontae Smith. That's what I said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You made me question myself. Okay.
No, you said Devontae Smith is, and I was just saying, is Devontae Smith.
I got you. Well,
is what he is.
Yeah, you're right. Oh,
Schmitty.
But he's coming out with some crazy catches. Like, he's definitely helping out Jalen Hurts. Like, he's making him look good, but he's kind of elevated his game from his rookie year to this year. And you take the addition of A.J. Brown, and now they can't just focus so much on Devontae. So now Smith's getting open, getting better looks. But you also can't just focus all your attention on A.J. Brown because of Devontae Smith. So now you're getting a lot more one-on-ones with both of these receivers. And Jalen Hurts is taking advantage of it, dude.
Oh, and you got Dallas Goedert.
Yeah,
he's no bum either.
No, he's a good tight end. Yep. He's definitely a good tight end for sure. I'm trying to find their stats here. I believe the Eagles were ranked 7th defensively.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at earlier.
Yeah, they're number 7 overall defensively, but here's the crazy stat. Offensively, the Eagles are ranked 3rd in the league. That's the kind of offensive production they're putting together this year. 3rd. If I told you last year, Justin, your Eagles and going into week 4, we're going to have the 7th ranked defense and the 3rd ranked offense, what would you have said?
No way in hell. Not a cold chance in hell. I already cashed in all my chips to get that Super Bowl win. So, I mean, I wasn't expecting any of this. I mean, the week 1, Detroit, right? I mean, was it 38-34? Somewhere right around there, the score?
It was... Let's see. So, Detroit, you guys, where the hell is it? There it is. Yeah,
38-35. Mm-hmm. I was just, same defense, different year.
Yeah, but then they went.
But they've really, I mean, they're playing some ball the last couple weeks.
Yeah, you got 38-35. Detroit plays everybody like that, though. Doesn't matter who they play. They just somehow keep it close. Detroit, mm-hmm. I feel bad for them because they'll be losing 45-0, and then the fourth quarter they'll score 43 points. Like,
and that's what, it, you know, Philly did give up, you know, some points in that fourth quarter to get it closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make the scoreboard look closer than what it was, but
not, other than that, that's the closest game they had. Then they beat Minnesota 24-7, and then they beat the Commanders 24-8, and that's a division game. And you know, I honestly picked the Commanders as an upset. Now, granted, big upset, but I thought it was gonna be a much closer game than this, and it wasn't at all. So They're not really, other than the week one, none of their games are close. They're kind of dominating everybody they play, and Jalen Hurts is kind of the guy right now. I mean, he's second in the league in passing yards next to Tua, which who would have saw that coming? Tua being the lead leaguer in passing yards. But I mean, he's 916 yards passing, 4 TDs, 1 interception, with a QBR of 106.51. I don't have his rushing stats, but I'm sure he's rushed for... Oh, here we go. So in the Commanders, he rushed for 20. Vikings, 57. And against the Lions, he rushed for 17. But, I mean, he's got three rushing TDs on top of the 4 TDs he's thrown for. So he's accounted for 7 touchdowns. I mean, so he's elevated his game from last year to this year a lot too. It's funny. It's a very similar story to Lamar, except Lamar's kind of, you know, he's taking a little bit longer to develop, but he's playing at an elite level. But nobody really has jumped from their season 2 to season 3, like jumped in a positive direction like this, except for Josh Allen. No one's made that kind of improvement from year 2 to year 3 like this, except for Josh Allen. Like, and that's saying something, because Josh Allen is arguably, I wouldn't say the best quarterback in the league, but he's up there. He's quite a ways up there. So, I mean, all signs are looking really good for y'all right now.
I would just say too, they can stay healthy. The offensive line can stay healthy, because we all know that derails a whole season.
Oh yeah, I know that all too well.
Switch.
What do you think, Ken? Your boy Jalen Hurts, former Bama quarterback.
I think he's doing really good.
And that's the show, everybody.
Yep.
Did you honestly though? Did you see this type of improvement coming out of him already, like this early in his career?
I don't think anybody did. I wouldn't think he'd be this successful, you know, but it just goes to show, man, you know, it's always good to keep, like these rookie contracts, you know, they usually give QBs 3 to 4 years before they make a decision. And this is why, because you have some QBs that come in the league where they're just outstanding from right off the rip, right?
Which is
a rare case.
Right.
But most of them don't really come together, something just happened and kind of alarming. But yeah, usually like most quarterbacks, usually around year three, year four, the GMs, head coaches know what they have, and they know if they're going to have a franchise QB or not.
Right.
Josh Allen made a huge jump, like you said, from when he got drafted to year three. Jalen Hurts is doing that same thing. Tua was doing the same thing as well, but
Tua's situation was crazy different though. Like, he didn't have a staff backing him up or anything like that.
Right.
So,
but if you would have told me that the Eagles will be undefeated right now and the success they're having, I wouldn't believe it. Even though I had them winning their division, I wouldn't think they'd be undefeated right now, but potentially going 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, not in such a dominant fashion for sure. I would have never thought that they would be dominating like they are. But it's an interesting, that's an interesting thing you brought up about quarterbacks not really getting a fair chance, right? Because there's a lot of teams that draft quarterbacks, and a lot of times these quarterbacks are going to really bad situations, a lot, especially the higher picked quarterbacks. You know, we've talked about this before, where these quarterbacks are coming into crappy situations, and a lot of times it's a rebuild or this, that, the other. But every now and again, you get the right quarterback with the right coach, and the coach does all the right things for this quarterback to give him the best chance of success. And I think that's what the Eagles have done for Jalen. And I also think the same thing about Josh Allen and even Tua now with Mike McDaniels. And you know, I think that's why we're seeing all these quarterbacks start to flourish the way they have, because I think their coaching staffs of their teams have done all the right things around their QB to give them the best opportunity for success. And I don't think we see that enough in this league. So it's interesting that you bring that up.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
This is their schedule the rest of the year. Obviously got Jacksonville Sunday. At Arizona. Dallas. Pittsburgh. At Houston. Washington. At Indianapolis. Green Bay. Tennessee. At New York. At Chicago. At Dallas. Orleans. And then the Giants.
All of which are very winnable games, especially with the way that they're playing right now. Their defense being so dominant and the offense, I mean, offense is moving the ball crazy good. So I'm not going to say they're going to run the table. I don't think that's going to be a thing, but they're going to win a majority of those games, and they're definitely going to. They're going to win this division, and hell, they might even be.
Think they win 13 games?
Oh, easy. I think 13, 14 games this year. Yeah. Don't doubt that at all. I mean,
if I had to pick, I would probably say they lose to Arizona.
Arizona's not playing good right now, dude. They're not.
Green Bay's kind of a toss-up for me. And then I could see, like, Dallas or New York.
I think they sweep their division.
Think so?
Mm-hmm. They're just...
It just seems like any time, like, we just struggle in Dallas, so we always, I mean...
Well, it's a division game, and divisional games are always tougher.
I think I'm right there with you, though, like 13 wins. I think they win 13.
Yeah, 13 wins, and hell, they might even...
If they stay healthy, I mean, obviously.
They definitely, I mean, that's always a big if, especially in football, I mean, because the injury rate is 100%. You're always right. Playing hurt, and especially mid-season and later, you're always playing hurt, and so you can't base anything off of injury, because you just never know. I mean, injuries happen. It's part of the game. But if they continue to play the way they're playing, they might even be the number one seed in the NFC.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tampa struggling.
Up to play this weekend, especially you got Doug Peterson coming back to Philly. So,
yeah, that game's gonna be. I mean, that's a. I haven't heard a lot.
Defense too.
Yeah, well, I mean,
has a good defense.
They're surprisingly, Jacksonville's looking really good. Doug Peterson has done a really, really good job over there. Jacksonville is looking like a real contender right now. I don't want to jump the gun too hard, but offensively they're ranked eighth right now. Defensively is 15th, so they're about mid pack roughly. But they're a very balanced team. I mean, they're 11th in passing and 10th in rushing. They're pretty balanced. And I think Doug Peterson has taken a lot of pressure off of. Oh, what's the quarterback over there in Jacksonville? Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. Thank you. He's taking a lot of pressure off of him, making him feel like he doesn't have to play hero ball because, I mean, you're drafted number one overall to a team. You kind of feel like you're there to save that franchise. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on that guy. I think Doug Peterson has done a really good job of lifting some of that weight off his shoulders and allowing him to just go out and be himself and play ball. And he's improved on his accuracy, and he's just throwing a better ball. And I think the game is finally starting to slow down for Trevor Lawrence, and I think you're starting to see that. I mean, hell, they put a whooping. The Jacksonville Jaguars put a whooping on the Chargers, dude.
Nobody's seen that coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's 38-10. Now, granted, it was it was a beat up Chargers, but regardless, 38-10, Jacksonville. Right. Who saw that?
Especially when you see how they did, you know, last year to this year.
So. Yeah.
That's a team that's did a big turnaround, dude.
Jacksonville?
They potentially have the chance to win the UFC or the UFC, the AFC South.
They're the favorites right now for sure.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We were all like, oh, Colts is gonna take that, you know, blah blah blah. And
yeah, it was either Colts or Titans is what everybody was picking, and Jaguars is a hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. Jaguars out here trying to be great all of a sudden.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is doing a good job. And ETN, that's his name, right? The running back they got.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that was a good addition for them. But
man's a beast.
Yeah. So I think this was almost our RFFT game of the week. We were torn between this and one other. This is still going to be a really good game, and I think it's going to be a great watch if you're not watching your team play and you get an opportunity to check this game out. I don't think it's going to be one-sided at all. I think it's going to be a close game. The Eagles are playing really well. So Jacksonville's really hot. They're both real hot, and they're both hungry. I mean, both teams have something to prove. Maybe Jacksonville a little more, but it's
calling it right now. I'm calling it.
Okay.
All right.
Calling it.
What you got?
Go back to this show at the start of the playoffs, and you guys, easy ass, he called it. He did. The NFC runs through Philly this year.
Woo!
Okay.
Bold predictions by our
Justin. That's a week four bold prediction right there. That's...
Eef.
Sheesh. Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner. See you.
I'm gonna wait a little longer.
Damn.
I like it though. I like it.
I'm not gonna comment. I've already said too much. I feel like too much positive to the Eagles, and I've also the curse is still alive. I just want you to know, Justin. My picks last week on all my picks, I missed 12. Missed 12 picks.
Did you pick Philly?
No, I did not.
Go ahead and keep picking against them all year long.
Yeah, no, I picked the Chargers. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Jacksonville. Who did Philly play last week?
Commanders.
Upset. Yeah, I picked them as an upset. So, yeah. Now, I tell you.
But he's favoring Eagles this week. Yeah. I can go ahead and tell you, he's definitely favoring them, so.
Up with Carson, man. How are you not gonna get up to play against your old team?
It's Carson Wentz, bro.
He's the worst QB in the league, bro.
I'm just saying, you know.
I don't know.
Your old team.
I mean, he's been playing okay this year, but that defensive line was too much.
I know this is kind of a little off topic, but I mean, I like Carson. Injury sucked. That totally. I mean, you can sometimes see that he. Doesn't play with the same confidence that he did before he got hurt.
No, he lost so much confidence after that injury. I think
yeah.
He lost a lot since he was having an MVP caliber season, and then he gets hurt, and then his backup goes and wins the MVP team the Super caliber. Bowl.
He was the MVP that year.
Was he the MVP that year?
No, he wasn't. But I'm saying,
yeah, Well, he would have been if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And he did everything he could to set his team up in a position to make it to the Super Bowl, which they ended up making. And then his backup goes and wins the Super Bowl MVP. And then they put a fucking statue of his back.
Yeah.
that's the crazy shit about Philly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Carson Wentz is supposed to be your guy. You ride the dude's back all year long and he gets hurt. And then the backup quarterback wins and you put a trophy or a trophy, a statue up of the guy.
I mean, big giant trophy in front of the building.
Psychological breakdown.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So, I mean, and he hasn't played like that sense. So it sucks.
I mean, you see flashes of it, but
yeah, he definitely goes out and tries, but he has moments. I always root for him. I rooted for him when he was with Indy last year. I root for him when he's with the Commanders this year. I was kind of hoping he was going to upset his old team. He didn't. But I do have the Eagles winning this game. I'm not going to give a score. I think it's close.
But I mean, Washington is where your career goes to die if you're a quarterback.
I thought that was the Browns.
Washington, oh,
too. No. Donovan McNabb, another Philly quarterback.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith got a broad deal. He got his legs snapped in two, okay?
There was a commercial with him on it the other day, and it was something about, don't know exactly the commercial, but it shows his leg. I mean, that's pretty gruesome.
Oh, dude, it was bad. It was gnarly. That's a whole other thing. He went through hell and damn near died on the operating table. It was crazy. Got an infection. And,
yeah, dude. Yeah,
that poor guy. Then he still came back and played.
And I think we talked about this on record. I'm not sure, but you know they need to change the comeback award name to the Alex Smith Award.
Yeah. The fact that he went through what he went through and came back to play again, yeah. The dude's the GOAT, the comeback player.
Yeah, man.
All right. So, Justin, you very excited for your Eagles?
I think they win 13 games. Easy. I mean, not easy, but
they win 13 games. I can see that.
It's doable.
I could see them being number one seed. Now, because they've said this, they're probably not going to, but I could see it.
We're going to ride the curse this year. Dude, we're breaking it. This is the year, man.
Well, according to Kane, his what did you call it, Kane? You said something about what? your basically your good luck charm. You called something else.
Blessing.
Your blessing is more powerful than my curse.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Let's see.
But I'm starting to retract that because you had Dolphins winning Thursday, and then we saw what happened. So I don't know.
Don't put that juju on me.
Just play.
All right, real quick, we're gonna cover this one real quick because we got one thing we need to talk about, and it's gonna take a while. So, we're doing the RFFT. Game of the week. Last week it was the Vikings and the Lions. We thought that was going to be a really good game. It was. Lions did what Lions do, and they lost it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So came down to the wire. Lions always make it interesting. Vikings walk away with the W on that one. It was a good game. I think this one's going to be even better. And I think it's kind of an obvious pick. I don't like to go with the obvious, but when it's this crazy of a matchup, you have to go with it. And we got Buffalo at Baltimore. Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson.
Two MVP candidates.
Yep. That's going to be a hell of a game. That's our game of the week. So
I will say that depending how beat up the Bills are, I know they're dealing with still like quite a bit of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see how Ravens corners do in this game because they've been kind of struggling too this year. So I'm very curious about that.
I'm curious to see how Lamar Jackson responds to Josh Allen, because I don't think the Ravens defense is going to slow him down. So that's what I'm excited for. I think this is going
to
be a...
Oh, to see if Lamar can go tick for tack?
Exactly.
With Allen? Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Gotcha.
So that's a game of the week, and I think that's going to be a very good game. I'm excited for that. And we're going to move on from that one quickly, because this next one, it's going to take a while.
Maybe. I mean, it's going to be all over the place, but...
Going to be all over the place. I'm not even going to try to do any introductions to this, Kane. I'm just going to give you the table. Bless your heart.
Is there anything you want to say about this, or are you just going to wait? Put it in here and there?
I don't want to say anything. I have some thoughts, but I kind of want to hear what you say first. And I might have some rebuttals.
Yeah. I know we're probably going to disagree on a couple of things, but that's fine. That's what opinions are for, and you know.
Last time I had an opinion, and I said, "Well, let me tell you why you're wrong." Well, that's kind of bitten me in the ass. So Lamar Jackson's trying to be the fucking best QB out here. And, so.
Oh no!
So you know there's going to be a lot of that going on right now, but you know I will do my best to. Give you a good argument if I can.
Yeah. I feel that. All right.
So, Kane, tell us about last night's game, the Bengals against Miami.
And Dolphins. First off, I want to say that those uniforms that they debuted was absolutely cold. They're sick as hell, dude.
Best uniform in the league right now.
Yeah, hands
those
down.
Those Bengals uniforms were sick. Like,
especially the way they looked in the lights during the nighttime, bro. Mm. Cold.
White on white. Oof.
Yeah, dude. I love it.
Something as basic as that, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it to look as badass as it did, but it looked dope.
Yeah, 100%. Off subject, man. That's why I like Penn State a lot, just because of their uniforms, man. The whiteout, just I like it. But there's been a lot of controversy. I mean, of course. I mean, the game aside, congrats to the Bengals on the win. It's very unfortunate for us Miami fans what happened. It felt wrong continuing watching the game. It just didn't feel right, you know. I mean, when you see what you saw and you notice that they're having brain trauma and nerve issues for being slammed to the turf, you know, you're kind of... You're not too worried about the game, you know. Like, we're here to watch football, but at the end of the day, these guys are human beings, and they have families. And knowing that his wife and his parents were there watching that game, and they had to see that, there's no telling what they were going through. But I want to start off by saying the way that he was thrown down was unnecessary. When the guy wrapped up to a, just tackle him. That's all you got to do. Not slam him. This ain't the WWE. This ain't, you know, we ain't out here doing wrestling moves. But Tua was giving up on the play. He was going down. And the way he just slammed him on his head, man, it was unnecessary. A lot of people are saying, you know, that concussion protocol is an issue. But the way I look at it is there's two independent doctors that examine him. And they're not there rooting for the Miami Dolphins. They're not there rooting for the Buffalo Bills. or the Bengals or any team, they're there to do their job. They're there for the person. When you have two independent doctors, and if they make a wrong call, if they don't do their job correctly, that's their reputation on the line. That's their future on the line. That's their license on the line. That's everything they worked for and got to where they are at now is on the line. I've geeked out on research on all kinds of stuff. And yes, during the Buffalo Bills game, when Tua got pushed and he hit his head, back of his head, pretty hard off the turf, and he was all wobbly. I'm not saying that the man didn't have some kind of head injury. I'm sure he did. But there's also a lot of nerves in your back that are connected with your legs, your head, things like that. There's all kinds of nerves going that's in your back, going to legs, head, neck, all that stuff. And if you have a back injury, I mean, dude, there's times where I know I've hurt my back pretty bad. And at times, I mean, hell, man, it was hard for me to walk. You know, even though he slapped his head on the turf, all we can do is trust what the doctor said. We're not going to know, you know, what went on or what took place in that locker room. But I do know that they were making sure he was okay after the game, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They were doing tests on him. I do know that has been released. But for these guys, these doctors aren't going to have these players come in and be like, all right, Tua, so how many fingers am I holding up? Two? Oh, okay. Send him on out there. He is good to go. They're not going to do that. These guys are going to do, you know, they're going to ask.
They're going to do their due diligence. Questions. Due diligence. Yes. And thank make you. Sure. Yeah.
at the end of the day, man, nope, we are not doctors. You know, but people, and I know there's people out there that's going to disagree with me. I know Cody, you probably disagree with me. Justin, you may disagree with me. Y'all may think that he may have had a concussion, and that is perfectly fine, because it's okay to be angry at that, because at the end of the day, everybody's concerned about the player and their safety, because these guys that are professional players, dude, they could have a broken arm or whatever. They're going to do their what they can to go out there and play and help their team.
You got to protect the player. Coaches. You gotta, exactly. You got to protect the player from themselves sometime. I get what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to help them protect themselves from themselves. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, this is their living. This is what they do for, I mean, this is how they live. This is all they know.
And, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. They're going to be there for their teammates. But with the Bengals and how he hit his head, he is. I mean, see, I'll tell you, I'm gonna lose, go all over the place. You know what, Cody?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go ahead and go to no filter right quick.
Go no filter, all right, brother. Let's get that going right now. No filter, I got no filter. No filter, I got no filter. No filter, I got no filter. Okay, Kane, what you about to say?
Right, we ready?
Yeah.
I didn't hear the music, so.
It's there.
Oh, it played.
It played. All right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm kind of going all over the place because I had something where I was going to go and I lost track of it, but I do want to say this. So my no filter segment is about the Miami fans saying that Tua is not the guy. He can't get hurt, you know, without being pushed down. He gets pushed down and he's hurt, this and that. Well, and y'all are crying for Skylar Thompson to come out and this and that. And the way I saw Teddy Bridgewater play, I get it. I mean, he didn't look the greatest. But Skylar Thompson is not ready. I mean, yes, he looked good in preseason. But he played half-ass teams. He didn't play starters. He played third strings. You put him in there against first strings, the man's not going to do well. He is a project right now. And Teddy, I mean, me personally, as of right now, I don't have much faith. I think he's great to be there to pick his brain. He's a veteran. It's best for him to learn from him, right? But here's what I'm kind of getting frustrated about. I haven't been a Miami Dolphin fan long. I'll be honest with you. But one thing I can tell you that I've learned is that Miami Dolphins can't get a fucking quarterback for shit. Who has been a good quarterback since Dan Marino? Nobody. Tannehill? You see how he's doing with the Titans? They took away one of his weapons. The man fucking is not doing too good right now.
What was that other one? Matt Moore, I think is his name was.
Yeah.
Something
Matt Moore.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna put this on record. Tua is the best quarterback Miami has had since Dan Marino. I'm gonna say that again. Tua is the best quarterback Miami has had and drafted since Dan Marino. The guy is a killer. The guy is a sniper. He finally had weapons all around him. You saw what this man was doing to defenses. If Tua stayed in that game healthy against the Bengals, Miami wins. I have no doubt in that. And for y'all to think, I guess we got to wait on Tua. You know, Tua guy for we have no. Man, y'all acting like we just fucking pick quarterbacks right out of a fucking hat. Oh, hey, here's one. We got one right here. Yeah, we'll use him.
I mean, that's kind of what they've done the last how many years since Marino? I mean, that's kind of what they've been doing with their quarterbacks.
25 years?
Yeah. So,
I mean, these guys are acting like, dude, Miami just picks quarterbacks just left and right, man. Okay, yeah, I feel much better. Thank you. That's just my frustration. I'm going to go ahead and keep it a no filter because my aggravation with Tua needs to quit playing hero ball. Tua gets an ankle injury to holding on the ball too long, trying to stretch out the play. Tua has almost a career-ending injury from the hip, playing hero ball, holding on to the ball too long. Has these guys weighing 300-something pounds chasing them down, not getting rid of the football. Last night, Tua playing hero ball, holding on to the ball way too long, trying to make something out of nothing, gets thrown down. And then ended up in the trauma center.
Now,
Tua, for you.
Hold that thought because I want to counter something real quick. Do you think maybe, now, I don't know about his college days, but right now, do you think maybe the reason why he's out there trying to do what he's doing is because of all the negative shit everyone, including Miami fans, are saying about him? Do you think maybe he's out there trying to prove all these haters wrong, that maybe he is the guy that they're looking for?
But I mean,
just a thought.
I mean, hadn't he been proving them wrong? I mean, from week one to week three?
Apparently not.
I mean, look what he did to Baltimore Ravens. Oh, people are always going to hate. I mean, Tua tunes out a lot of stuff in the media. That could be part of the reason, but I think another part of the reason is he's thinking of his teammates and not himself. When really all he's doing is hurting his teammates more than anything. I mean, we saw how different that offense looked without Tua on the field. It was a whole different offense. Like, they were up here, and then they just dropped down to here. Everything slowed down. Everything. but Tua, you got to save yourself from yourself. The best QBs survive in this league because they play smart. You can't take these hits. You have to make it through the hits that when they're blitzing and they come to you right off immediately, but you can't take the hits that you took last night. You were the cause of that hit. The thing that Tua, his biggest flaw is, he doesn't know when to give up on the play. He doesn't live to see another down. That's Tua's flaw. That's been his flaw this whole time I followed him. Man, you know I'm probably the biggest Tua fan you know personally.
Oh, 100%.
And I love that kid to death, man. He has a lot of talent. He's a Drew Brees and a Joe Montana.
Well, this all this fire is coming from a place of passion from you. Like, it's not coming from a place of anger. It's coming from a place of, dude, prolong your career by throwing the ball away. You're going to end your career early. You keep taking these shots. Because one thing, too, is not a big stature guy. He's not a big statured guy. When he gets taken down by these big 300-pound linemen, it's going to be violent every time because he's not big.
Right.
And so I get where you're coming from. You're coming from a place of passion and saying, dude, save yourself. Prolong your career so you can play 10-plus years in this league, because this is a violent damn sport. And there's no denying that.
Yes, 100%. 100%. There's not a lot of guys out there, man, that could take hits like that. There's not. I mean, the greatest play long because they play smart. Drew Brees, Joe Montana couldn't take hits like that. They weren't these guys that could throw a crazy deep ball. But you know what they were? They were very accurate, and they would they would tear you apart.
And they get rid of the ball.
They would pick you off. Yes. Mm-hmm. But they were also smart. When the play was over and they knew they could make something out of it, they got rid of the ball. Somebody needs to sit down with Tua. They need to play back the ankle injury. They need to play back the hip injury. They need to play back what happened last night. And they need to be blunt with them. They need to be like, Tua, you're the man of this franchise. But if you can't play smart and save yourself from yourself, we're going to have to move on. We're going to have to let you go. We can't pay somebody this amount of money that's going to be injured all the time because they don't want to play smart. They're setting themselves up to get injured. They really need to be blunt with him, because if they don't, this man ain't going to make it to 6 years
in the pros. And I agree with you, but on the other side of the coin, I know you were talking about the head injuries, and this is where we're going to disagree. I don't know what his injury was. Miami says it's a back problem. I have to take their word for it because I'm not in the locker room, just as you said. But from what I saw with my own two eyes, we all have been watching football a long time. We've all been watching it ever since they implemented all of this concussion protocol stuff into the league. The first thing we saw when Tua snapped his head back and he got up wobbly, we all thought he was going to be out for the game. Concussion protocol, done, out. We were all of us were just as shocked as the next when we found out Tua was coming out to play in the second half. He should have never, A, played in the second half of that game, and B, on a short week, having to play a Thursday night game, should have never been in that game. Should have never. Miami needs to take Tua's health more serious. I don't think they're taking Tua's health as serious as they should. They're treating him like he's a fucking pawn. A pawn in a chess game. And that's my problem with this whole thing. That injury was brutal. In all the years I've watched football, I've never seen that. I was legitimately scared that the man was done.
Yeah.
Another Ryan Shazier situation where Shazier tackled wrong. He was a linebacker for the Steelers. And he was a great linebacker, all pro. And his career ended very early because he tackled wrong and he led with his head. And yeah, he's paralyzed. Well, I think he's walking now, but he paralyzed himself. Yeah, you know, he's fighting back from that. But my point is that, to your point, Tua needs to take care of himself, but the Miami Dolphins need to do a hell of a lot better job too. Miami needs to protect Tua from himself because every player in this league is going to want to play. That's what it is. A, there's a lot of money on the line because they get paid per game.
Yeah.
And B, they're competitors. If you don't have a guy out there that wants to win more than the next guy, you don't have a winning roster. Everybody out there wants to win more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So Tua, he got hit because he didn't throw the ball away. You're right. He should have thrown the ball away. He had plenty of opportunity to do so. But he should have never been in the damn game to begin with. So I blame Miami overall.
I don't disagree with that. But McDaniel says that he takes players' health very seriously. That if there was any signs of him having a concussion or anything like that, he would not have played him. I don't know. But the thing is, I totally agree. I don't think he should have been on the field, but he was. And therefore, he should have. I mean, Nick Saban warned that if he, you know, he has a hard time of living to see another down, getting rid of the football. Nick Saban had to witness that twice. The second one being way worse than the first one. But the way that he got spun around, I do believe that he did have a back injury. Like when he got spun around, did you see how his back locked up? Like he just locked up. I don't know if you noticed that.
I have to go back and watch the film. I didn't see that.
Like he just kind of stiffens and just, but did he have a concussion? We don't know.
And we'll probably, we won't know until this AA, this investigation.
Well, the NFL over. They really need to like speed up on this.
Well, it's not even the NFL that's going to be doing the investigation. It's the NFLPA that's doing the investigation. The NFL is out of it.
Yeah.
So, and I think this is going to be a couple week thing because I think they're going to want to do a very thorough investigation and rightfully so. I don't think we're going to have an answer in the next, not as soon as everyone wants it. We're going to find out in a couple of weeks.
I don't know when we ended No Filter.
We never ended it. We're still going.
Oh, we're still going. Okay.
Yeah. We were still going.
But, well, it don't matter to me. But one thing people have to understand that everybody's different. It's not a one size fits all type thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who had a concussion. Now, Tua is in a concussion protocol now. He for sure has a concussion now.
Well, there's no denying that.
There's no denying it.
Yeah.
He's having headaches a lot. He was asking. He didn't know where he was or what happened.
Right.
When they were on the field.
Yeah, he was asking questions.
So, guaranteed, 100%. Now, but there's people that, but there's one thing about Tua, man, that I've learned. He's very tough. He has a lot of heart. And he may heal fast. I mean, he healed pretty fast on a hip injury. It was kind of like Willis McGahee in that championship game. You know, his knee bent backwards. Mm-hmm. Do y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Two months later at the combine, Willis McGahee was walking after that brutal injury.
Yeah.
Tua got hurt, I believe it was in November, with the hip. By April, he was in the combine.
And credit to him for those things, but I don't think all those other things, those are limbs, you know, legs, arms. This shit's the brain, dude. This is far more serious than any of those other injuries. And I just don't think that there should be a rush to get two out. I think they need to take their time. And if Tua has to miss 2, 3, even 4 games, then that's fine, because I think above anything else, after what we saw last night, I think above anything else, Tua's health is most important.
Yeah. NFL needs to do better with player safety.
I agree. And one other thing, and before I end No Filter, I want to argue one more point with you on the Teddy Bridgewater thing. Now, granted, you said, you know, he was wishy-washy. You didn't, you know, but the fans want the third string quarterback, whatever his name was. People forget Teddy Bridgewater, when he was the backup quarterback for the Saints, when Breeze had to get, I believe it was thumb surgery, fingers, one of his fingers had to get surgery on it. He was out for 5 weeks. Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 during that time. I'm not saying he's going to go undefeated until Tua comes back, but what I am saying is he's a viable option while Tua gets better. And he's a good one. And you guys could do a hell of a lot worse than Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater struggled last night. He came in the game. You got to remember, he's not practicing with the ones like Tua is. He's not getting the first team snaps. He doesn't have the same chemistry with the team. It's going to take a minute. You give him a minute. I'm not saying it's going to be as good as Tua, but it damn sure is not the worst possible option. And I think he's good for 2 to 3 wins if necessary.
There is definitely worse situations as a backup QB out there for sure. But I just want to say one thing, you know, people give Tua a hard time about dinks and dunks. Well, get ready to see a lot of dinks and dunks. So.
All right, that's No Filter, y'all. Hope you got it off your chest, buddy.
I feel like there was some more, but lost track.
There's always more.
Sitting there listening to you guys go back and forth, I think I got ourselves a topic for next week.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What you think?
I was gonna jump in with it, but why spoil it? So.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for that. I'm curious. Shit, I'm curious. All right. So that was kind of a long rant. We do apologize, but I think it was something that needed to be covered. Especially,
I don't apologize. Y'all gonna sit there and listen to the whole thing?
Kane needed to get it off his chest, but not only that, I think it's an important discussion to have, especially with player safety. That was some severe shit. So, yep. With all of that said,
before you end,
hold on. Are you ending? I'm not ending.
Okay.
I want to say something. Okay. I just want to say, everyone here from Real Fans Football Talk, we want Tua to know, and I seriously doubt he's ever going to hear this, but if he does hear this, we want him to know.
He ain't going
to
hear this.
If he hears this, I want him to know that we all are going to, we're wishing him a fast and speedy recovery, and we all want him to take care of himself, because that's number one. That's numero uno. So, okay.
One thing that, you know, I said that player safety, NFL needs to do a better job of player safety.
Mm-hmm.
And stop worrying about how much money that they can get. NFL is so money hungry.
You're teasing me. I just want to jump into this shit right now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I don't want to wait till next week.
But NFL needs to quit thinking about.
I think that's all bullshit. Their safety.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
These players are, just like I said, they're pawns on a chessboard.
Fist fighters.
Mm-hmm. This is modern day gladiators is what it is. But it is. I mean, and we all watch it and we all love it. I mean, if we didn't love it, we wouldn't be sitting here right now doing what we're doing. So, I mean, that's what that is. So,
Sure.
But yes, player safety needs to be put above everything. I couldn't agree more.
And all of a sudden, they worried about more money, and they're going to put, oh, you can watch Thursday night games on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so you can just take, okay, cool. Anyway, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. So we're going to do this quickly because we're running real late here. So I'm just going to go through. We're going to do our picks. Get them quick as we can.
Mm.
All right. So we're going to start off with Minnesota at New Orleans. Justin?
Minnesota.
Kane?
Minnesota.
I got New Orleans.
Minnesota.
Cleveland at Atlanta. Justin?
It's a weird game.
It is.
I'm going to root for Joe's team, man. They got to.
Yeah.
They got to get one for old Joe.
That's right. I like that. Okay.
I don't know who Joe's team.
It's Atlanta.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
I also have Atlanta. RFFT's game of the week, Buffalo at Baltimore. Justin?
Buffalo.
You got Baltimore, Kane. Okay, I want Buffalo to whoop that ass because of our bet. But I'm with you, Kane. I think Baltimore wins this game. They're at home, and they're hot. Okay, a snoozer of a game, Washington at Dallas.
Tie.
You said tie? Oh, that's so gross.
Now, that's horrible, man.
Pull one for your boy, Carson.
Yes, I'll go with Washington.
All right.
I dislike Dallas a lot more than I like, you know, dislike Washington.
So. Right. Dane?
Cowboys.
I'm going to take the Commanders again, and they'll probably let me down again. Okay. Seattle at Detroit. Justin?
This is the week. Detroit's gonna finish a full game this week.
Okay.
On Detroit.
Okay.
I got Detroit as well.
I also have Detroit.
Seattle's winning.
All right. We got the Chargers at Houston.
Chargers.
Come on, Cade.
Chargers, yeah. Oh, I was going to say Texas.
I'm going Houston. That's my upset pick. Okay. Divisional game, Tennessee at Indy.
That's interesting.
It's kind of an important game. Indy's 1-1-1 right now, dog.
I know, that's weird.
Indy?
Yeah, Indy's 1-1-1. So you got Tennessee at Indy. It's in Indy. The home team. Okay, Indy it is. Indy it is. All right, you got Chicago at New York. Oh, by the way, I have Indy on that game.
Yeah, I'm going Titans.
Okay, you got Titans. All right.
Titans win first game.
Chicago at the G-Men. I already know who I'm picking.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to New York.
Okay.
Chicago.
Going New York as well. Let's see, we got this one's a good. This is gonna be such a good game. Jacksonville at Philly. Justin.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, right.
Stop.
Now Philly.
Okay. Kane.
I'm going Jacksonville.
You're going Jacksonville?
Hmm.
Philly's at home. Yeah, I got Philly.
I'm being the Devicles. Or the Devicles.
The Devicles? What is a Devicle?
I don't know.
That's a new word.
I don't know.
That was a new one. Okay. New York at Pittsburgh.
When's Wilson come back?
This game.
Pittsburgh.
He acts like it's going to make a difference that he still pits Pittsburgh.
I know the news that came out over the summer of Zach Wilson. He's my new favorite player, dude.
Dude,
he loves hot moms, bro.
He played for the Cougars, and he loves to sleep with them as well too.
Oh no. I'm going Pittsburgh.
Okay, I'm gonna pull for Robert Saleh and the Jets.
I'm telling your wife.
Okay, we got Arizona at Carolina.
Arizona.
Gross.
Carolina.
Arizona.
Kyle Murray can't read defenses.
I'm picking the Cardinals as well. It's gross, but whatever. All right, New England at Green Bay.
Packers.
Yeah, Packers.
I believe Mac Jones has a high ankle sprain. Don't know if he's going to play.
Nah, he's out for like 6 weeks, I heard.
I don't know. All I know is he left the field whining like a little bish.
I said that at work today.
I also have Green Bay. Divisional game, Denver at Las Vegas.
Oh, man, that's kind of a tough one.
0-3 versus 2-1.
Denver looks...
They both look really bad.
I'm going to go Vegas. They gotta get one, right? Eventually.
How many times
can Denver keep lucking out?
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, because the Raiders are sucking ass, like a lot of ass, I'm going Broncos.
All right. I also have the Broncos. They have, I believe, the number two or number one ranked. I can't remember which. One or two ranked defense in the league. So that's why I'm picking the Broncos. All right.
And the Raiders suck ass.
And the Raiders suck ass. KC at Tampa.
Little Super Bowl rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Go with Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going Kansas City as well.
I am also going Kansas City. All right, we're going to just skip that game. It's not worth mentioning.
We're not.
I'm not picking. So you got the LA Rams versus a division rival.
Rams.
You said Rams?
Yeah, he said Rams real fast.
I'm saying 49ers. 49ers usually owns the Rams and regular season, so I'm going 49ers.
That's good. All right. Well, those are our picks.
No, what's
I'm pleading the fifth.
Have faith in that curse, bro. Pick the Rams.
That's the problem with the curse is I can't use it in my to my advantage. I can't just pick the Rams because I want the Niners to win. It doesn't work that way. I have to feel it. I gotta believe it.
Well, tie.
I honestly do have the, swear to God, I do have Rams winning this game. After the performance I saw with Jimmy G last week, I got no faith. Plus, we lost Trent Williams, our best left tackle. That pass rush is going to get to Jimmy, and Jimmy doesn't do good under pressure. So I do have the Rams winning this game. I had Cincinnati losing this game. Actually, did have Miami winning this game. So everyone knows, I picked Miami to win, and well, you saw what happened. Same. So you don't want me picking your team. So those are the picks. Show went on for quite a long time, this one. I do apologize for that. We try to keep it within an hour-ish, but, you know, I felt like the Tua thing needed to be brought up and talked about. So, Kane, appreciate you saying your piece on that one, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So, whoa. Like always, we appreciate y'all listening. You follow us on Apple, or follow, you could listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and make sure to follow us on all of our social medias. If you guys do like the show, like I always say, do us a big favor. If you could, please let your friends know about us. You know, anybody you talk football with, anything like that. Let them know. Let them know about us. And, you know, if you like it, give us a rating. That helps the show tremendously. Rating it, reviewing it, things like that. And I'll, as always, we look forward to feedback on our Facebook page and our Twitter. Anything that we had a discussion about on this show, if you got anything you want to say, we look forward to feedback on there. And if you want to be, you know, a guest on the show, we are always looking for, guests on the show to talk more football. That's what the show is about. Is talk football. What we love to do. We're fans who love to talk football. So, you know, just, you know, let us know what y'all think. So,
yes, sir.
That's it. That's all we got. So, till next time, y'all. Peace out.
See ya.
Peace.